Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Howard White, who's the director at Hydrogen Utopia. How are you today, Howard?
Yeah, I'm fine, Mazak. How are you?
You're not just a director, though, are you?
No, I'm actually interim chairman with the unfortunate demise of my friend Simon Mann. So, you know, a little acknowledgement to Simon, sorely missed.
On to Hydrogen Utopia and where
Yes.
you are now. From my understanding of the RNS today, the shop is ready for its first customer.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm first of all, it's good to be back in the UK because 43 degrees in Dubai was horrific. I came back a couple of days ago. And I think our CEO, Alexandra, put out a mission statement not so long ago. And I think it hasn't quite been understood. So I'll put it like this. I'm a huge McLaren fan. And last season, McLaren started the season. They were appalling. I mean, it was an embarrassment. And then in the summer break, they did some amazing upgrades. And they essentially pivoted their car. And it went from being in the last, you know, four teams to being the number one team. And this is exactly what Hydrogen Utopia has done. We have spent a considerable amount of time and regrettably shareholders' money, which includes my money as well, and Alexandra's and the rest of the board. What we thought was following the dream of the EU, and that dream actually, even by EU's own admission and the hydrogen people in the EU have admitted that for every effort they make to push it forward, they get met with restrictions. And nonsense from the EU. So we decided that when you bang your head against the wall long enough and it hurts, you stop banging your head against the wall and you look for something else. And that is exactly what we have done. We have looked at the MENA and particularly GCC. I mean, that's really that's where I'm focused. And the Gulf countries. And what we found, because we did approach them whilst we had our TRL4 technology, is they're really not interested in taking risk. They want to see something that works. They want to go and look at it, and then they want to put the money in it. For example, I know of two projects in a solar PV to electrolyzer that are each are coming in at around $8 billion each. So that's the kind of money that they're spending, and they're producing, each one is producing over 200,000 tons of hydrogen. And this is in Saudi Arabia, and the Saudis particularly are looking at, one of the things is to make green ammonia and export it, so that they're moving their economy away from an oil-based economy. But getting back to what Hydrogen Utopia has done, and which was explained in Alexandra's mission statement very clearly, is that we are taking our technology, which we will develop over the next couple of years. In parallel, we have acquired the Inantech technology. And the Inantech technology, I engaged with them in 2008. They've been going for a long time. They have a full-size system built and operating for 13 years in America. And it's a sort of thing that the GCC, the Emiratis, the Saudis, Kuwaitis, Omanis, Bahrainis, all can get in their private jets and fly over and see it operating. And that gives them the security of mind to actually pursue a $100 million project. But most importantly, one has to look at the Vision 2030, Vision 2050, and 2060 in the relative countries. And there are three things there. One is, and the biggest one, is the decarbonisation of construction. And construction in these regions is extraordinary. I mean, we look at the Shard and go, oh, isn't it wonderful? I mean, if you put the Shard in Dubai, you wouldn't even notice it. I mean, it just wouldn't be particularly special. They're building, and they're still building at a phenomenal rate. And the same multiplied in Saudi Arabia. Both of them have said in their Vision 2030, 2050, 60, that they want to decarbonize their building. And to decarbonize, you have to replace, for example, in cement, the cement industry, you have to replace the usage of coal, natural gas, or in many cases, waste like tires and plastic, etc., which they want high calorific waste to put under the furnaces in the in the cement kilns. And to decarbonize, you replace that with hydrogen. And we have already had significant interest from cement companies who basically are saying, wow, so you're going to take the waste that we're using, plus other things like oil sludge and other materials that are difficult but are plastic-based or oil-based, mainly hydrocarbon-based, and you're going to convert them into a clean hydrogen, which we can then use instead of all this other waste product, or in the case of natural gas or coal, highly material that causes emissions that are significantly, sig sorry, significantly detrimental to the environment. So we give them clean, low carbon cement. And for every ton of cement, you need 15 kilos of hydrogen. And the amount of cement they're producing runs into millions of tons. So the amount of hydrogen they need is quite significant. The hydrogen that's being produced in the solar farms is not close to the cement plants, which means there is a price that it produces at, which is not insignificant. It's probably, it was originally meant to be about $1.50. It's probably more than double that. But then they would have to transport it. And then by transporting hydrogen, you double the price. Our facility would be located next to the cement plant, so there'd be no transport of hydrogen. The hydrogen would come straight out of the Inntec system and go into the cement plant. This means that even at $4.50, $5 a kilo, we would be significantly cheaper than hydrogen from solar and electrolysis. So, to this end, by being able to offer a TRL 9, a technology readiness level 9 technology that is already there. We have walked in to a virgin market. No one else is doing it. There's no one else there. There aren't many technologies, if any, around that are at the Innotek state of readiness to come in and do what is required. In addition to the hydrogen, by using another process called gas water shift, you can double the amount of hydrogen and produce a very clean CO2 in very, very significant quantities. This CO2 can be used in extended oil recovery. Basically, what you do is you take the CO2, you push it underneath a depleting oil field, and it pushes the oil up. But by putting it underneath the oil field, it traps it there forever, essentially. So that is CCUS, carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration. And that is where the cutting edge of carbon elimination from the environment is going. And the UAE and KSA, Saudi Arabia, all wish to be leading in EOR. And of course, they have many, many, many opportunities to use it. The third thing is that they finally decided that throwing their trash in the desert is not a good idea because is messing up their very, very nice clean deserts, starting to smell and getting rather large. And particularly with things like tires, and we all know about the Kuwait tire mountain that can be seen from the moon. And this technology will happily deal with tires. It runs at a very high temperature, 2,500 degrees, in the main chamber, and it will convert the tires into their molecular construction. The important thing that people don't understand is recycling plastic isn't necessarily such a good thing. A, it's energy intensive, and B, you're not eliminating plastic, and the world can, there's only so much plastic the world can consume. Currently, we're producing 400 million tons a year, and by 2050, they reckon it will be 1.5 billion tons a year. So it's not about saying, "Oh, we're going to recycle all this plastic and we're going to make new plastic cones out of them," because the plastic still exists in the environment. What is needed is a process that actually destroys the plastic, breaks it down to its molecular construction, and uses those molecules for a different, non-invasive, non-detrimental environmental usage. Hydrogen, for example, CO2 and CCUS are two ways of breaking down plastic and eliminating it as an environmental catastrophe. So the fact that both the UAE government and the Saudi KSA government, under the leadership of MBS, who really is trying to change Saudi Arabia at an alarming pace and is succeeding extremely well. They are pushing these things through. We don't hit things like 2-year EIAs just to get permission to build something. If they want to build it, they build it quickly. So the speed to actually build and operate is much, much quicker than it is, for example, in Europe. I mean, in Europe, if you want to build one of these facilities, it'll take 18 months to 2 years just to get the permission to start working on it. In that time, it will be built and operating in GCC. So I think Yes, we have unfortunately had a decline from our IPO price, and we are sitting at a much reduced price, although many other companies are. But I think what we have done is something as dynamic as McLaren, and we're going from the back of the pack to the front of the pack, and just watch this space. Things are happening, and they're happening very, very quickly. So I am very, very optimistic and moving forward.
So you've got the technology, you've got the location. Are your potential clients, the licensees of the technology, aware of you? Do they know how good your technology is? Do they know that technology actually works? And how quickly do you think they would actually come through the door?
Well, the cement plants that we've approached, the response has been at the top level. And just to give you some idea, there's one huge cement plant in UAE. There are 47 cement plants in Saudi Arabia. 20 of them are partnered by one European company. The amount of cement that they're producing is, I mean, in millions, tens of millions of tons. The immediate response has been extremely positive. It solves their problem. It's a solution, and no other solution has been proposed to them. So the initial responses have been, we're very interested in this. We want to have a look at it. And the first thing that we found in this region is, does it work? Can we see one? And up to now, we've had to say, no, we've got to build the first one. And, there's an element of risk there. In this case, we can go, yeah. Come over to America, we'll show you one that's been running for 13 years at full size. And that will make it a much easier solution for them to say yes to. And the sort of size we're talking about in terms of investment, and they wouldn't even have to invest in it. Our sell to them is, will you give us an offtake of X thousand tons of hydrogen a year? You give us the offtake, yeah, and based on the offtake, we'll go and get the EPC, and with the EPC, we'll go and get funding. And funding on something like this, when you've got an offtaker from a $40 billion dollar company, it just makes life very, very, very easy. It's a different world from working in Europe, I have to say.
Do you concede that there have been so many false dawns here, and you've cried wolf, or whatever the opposite of that is, in terms of saying, right, we're ready to go, we're going to deliver this clean hydrogen, etc. And if people believed, or there hadn't been that history of, let's say, 10 years, then the shares wouldn't be a penny and a half; they'd be 15p already.
But first of all, what I would say is that Hydrogen Utopia has only been going for 4.5 years. We've been operating in the worst circumstances that someone who's been in the market too long, can ever remember. We made the mistake of believing the EU that they had these programs, post-COVID programs, and they were going to hand out money, etc., etc. And it transpires that the hooks that they put in you, and the demands they make of you, and the time frames that they put on you, even von der Leyen has admitted that her hydrogen strategy has been a disaster. Of what she wanted to achieve, I think she's achieved 0.06% of her target. Yes, I apologize sincerely to shareholders. I am hurting singularly more than anyone else because I put more cash in than anyone else. But I am now of the opinion, and in this announcement, Alexandra put in a $80,000. I put in $20,000 as non-interest bearing loans, simply because we are not prepared to dilute our shareholders. We do everything not to dilute the shareholders, and the way that these projects will be financed, they will all be SPVs, special purpose vehicles. Each special purpose vehicle will have an offtake agreement, will have its own EPC, and will have its own funding, and we will end up with a percentage of the SPV. Depending on how it's funded, will depend on how much of the SPV we get, plus we will get a management fee from each one. This is, as I say, is a different world. Everything you think of in Europe, yeah, multiply it by 10, and that's the sort of size that you're dealing with. So, I would expect to have multiple sales on this because it is a proven product. It is not something that they have to imagine is going to work. They can come and see it working.
And so there aren't like Donald Rumsfeld, there are no unknown or known unknowns or unknown unknowns.
No, there are no that there are no unknown unknowns or known unknowns. This is that this functions. This works. It's been working for 13 years. I can only kick myself for having engage in them in 2008, and just forgotten about them. It was because plasma didn't have a good name because it was energy hungry in terms of electricity. Well, electricity in GCC is a lot of it's green. And it's very, very inexpensive, 4 to 6 cents a kilowatt hour. So it doesn't matter if it's energy hungry. What it does is, back in 2008 to 2012, 2018, no one cared about hydrogen because you got it from an SMR very inexpensively, and it was grey hydrogen and put a lot of CO2 into the atmosphere. Here, we're now in a different world where we are producing a low carbon hydrogen. In some cases, we can demonstrate that it's carbon negative, and that's what they want. That they are not fussed in this area. They don't care about colors. They care about low carbon, and that is the logical way to go. All this color nonsense in hydrogen is just a joke. Green, gray, blue, turquoise. Nobody understands it, and it's meaningless because hydrogen actually is colorless. It's all the same color. Everyone thinks it comes out different color. I mean, it's been so badly marketed. Low carbon and green are, in terms of the environment, exactly the same thing, because green hydrogen isn't that green when you have to transport it.
So we can expect news from Hydrogen Utopia, hopefully in a positive manner, in coming weeks and months, I suppose.
Oh, yes. No question.
Howard White, Interim Chairman at Hydrogen Utopia. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.